2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. The Holy Spirit is a troubler. The Holy Spirit is a troubler. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to read a few verses here, beginning with verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Amen. I could read more in this chapter, but I won't right now. But I just want to take a few minutes here tonight. Last night, now, Marcia and I have been married 36 years, and she'll tell you that almost all the time when I lay my head down on the pillow, within 1 minute, I'm gone. I'm asleep. And that's quite a blessing. And I thank the Lord for that. Unless I've had too much caffeine or something of that sort, but most of the time, I hardly ever remember even putting my head on the pillow. Now, that's a blessing, isn't it? Amen. A lot of folks lay there all night long. So whenever I have a night when I do lay there a lot of the night, then I know that something's going on. And it was true of last night. I spent some of the night troubled in my spirit, troubled in my mind. It continued even after I got up this morning and throughout the morning and as we came in to the service, just troubled in my spirit, not really fully understanding all the reasons why. But I have come to just thinking about this throughout the day today and meditating on this. I have come to the conclusion that there are, even in the Scripture, there are several different types of things that happens to people whenever they have a troubling spirit, troubled time in their spirit. And a person that's not saved many times will come under conviction and they will be troubled, and even their sleep will leave them because they're just unhappy with where they are with God. They're miserable without God, and so they'll be troubled sometimes in their sin. And that's pretty much a normal thing. Sometimes sorrow or grief or sickness or circumstances like that can cause you to have a similar type reaction. And I went through the Psalms and I noticed there were numerous occasions where the psalmist would talk about that I was troubled through the night. I was troubled and I was without rest and for various reasons. In one place he talks about that I wet my bed with tears. I was troubled through the night. And so sometimes we are facing circumstances that cause us to be troubled. Then on the other hand, I noticed there's several places in the Scripture where that even preachers of the gospel and prophets of God were called troublers. Are you the one that has come to trouble Israel? Have you come preaching to us about our life and the way that we're living, and you're stirring up trouble? It was true of Elijah. It was true of Amos and others of the prophets of God that they were troublers, because whenever they came to town, they just stirred up trouble. Everybody was at peace and everything was going well, but then someone begins to point out their sin and begins to point out their need for God, and they're troubled even by the truth. Amen. I think I've had most of these kind of experiences. Trouble because of sickness or trouble or sorrow. Trouble because I've heard the word of the Lord and it convicted me and I knew that I needed to change and I needed to allow God to do a new work in me. I've had most of these kind of experiences, and I've also had an experience like I had last night where I was troubled by the Holy Spirit. Troubled. The Holy Spirit sometimes is a troubler that's dealing with you in mind and spirit. Now, I read to you here from this second book of Corinthians here, the second letter of the Apostle Paul, and I want to just give you a little reminder of the background of what he's talking about here when he says there in verse 5, when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Without were filings, within were fears. What was he talking about? You'll see that it's not just here in this chapter, but in other chapters here in 2 Corinthians, that he talks about the same thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, he said, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. And so he was troubled because Titus had been the messenger that sent the first letter to the Corinthian Christians. And the letter to those, that first letter, actually both of the letters were very corrective in nature. But 1 Corinthians is straightforward, to the point, dealing with error, dealing with sin in the church, and even to the point of those that were committing adultery in the church, those that were involved in all kinds of terrible types of immoral sins in the church. And I mean, he dealt very straightforward with it. He didn't mince any words. He told them that what they were doing was wrong. It was sin. It was against God. And so he spoke to them and gave them the truth. And then he sent the letter off by Titus. Now, we live in a lot different time now because If we sent a letter off, it probably would be an email. And even if we did use the mail, what they call now snail mail, if we used the regular mail and we were expecting a response to a letter that we sent, you know that within just a few days, you're probably going to hear a response, more than likely. You might even get a phone call in response, or if it's an email, you might get a response back just within a matter of minutes or an hour or two. Because we live in an age of very fast, quick communication, but Paul didn't live in that time. He lived in a day when you send a letter off by a courier, and it would be weeks, months, maybe several months, maybe even a year before you would ever hear back the response. So whenever you read here in 2 Corinthians where he's talking about not seeing Titus yet and not hearing a report back yet, he was talking about the fact that he had sent this letter to the Corinthian church and he was anxious over how that they were going to respond to it. He was concerned about it. He wanted to know that they were going to receive the correction and that they were going to receive the truth and that it was going to have a good effect upon them. He continues talking about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So it's in 2 Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians 4, and in 2 Corinthians 7 that in each case here, it talks about the fact that he's restless, he's troubled in mind, troubled in spirit, he's not able to rest because he hasn't heard back yet about the Christians at Corinth. Now that tells me some things about what was going on in Paul's life and his ministry. It tells me that he was very people-focused. He was concerned about those people. Any preacher of the gospel, and especially any pastor, is going to be people-focused. You're going to have to be concerned about people. what they're doing, where they are, what they're involved in, are they, you know, where they are spiritually and what's going on in their spiritual life. That's just a normal thing. As a matter of fact, it's just a part of the call of God. Amen. Hebrews 13 and 17, they watch for your souls because they have to give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. And that's what the Apostle Paul was dealing with. He hadn't heard back the response yet. And so he was troubled in mind. He was restless. He couldn't sleep. And he was dealing with the spiritual condition and the spiritual need and praying that they're going to respond the way that they need to respond. Amen. So sometimes the Lord troubles preachers and troubles pastors for reasons. Amen. And if the Holy Spirit, the troubler, is talking to you, then you need to, you know, make sure it's not too much coffee or tea, but make sure that truly that there's this voice of the Spirit of God that is talking to you and dealing with you. And so I really came in this morning to service, and I had a lot of different things on my mind, things I was concerned about on my mind. And I can't go into all the details of this, but I can just tell you that several things this morning that the Lord did in the service, even just a very basic, simple message of Brother French, reminded me of the fact that God cares about people in their need. Amen. God cares about people and what they're going through and their need. And I have to tell you, I just want to remind you here tonight, not only from my perspective as a pastor, but all of our perspectives. Sometimes, sure, we are to be concerned about people, but our focus has to be more than just on what people are or what they're doing. We have to put our focus up on the answer to every need and every problem that people have, and that's the Lord Himself. Amen. The focus has to be upon Him. But even sometimes the person that's called to be a shepherd has to have the reminder that he's just the under-shepherd, and there's the chief shepherd, and Jesus is the one that comes, and He helps you, and He reminds you of the fact that you are in such need of help from God. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the troubler, reminds us of how much we need the Lord on a daily basis. Amen. Just reminds us of how much we need. Now, even if Jesus was troubled, and there's a couple occasions in the New Testament where Jesus Himself was faced with circumstances and He Himself was troubled by it. The Apostle Paul is troubled, and all of us have experienced things. So why does God allow, by His Holy Spirit, why does He talk to us and deal with us sometimes in the night, sometimes in restlessness? Why does He do that? It is a reminder to us of the fact that we are weak, and we do have this treasure in an earthen vessel, and we're not able to do anything except by the power of God. And I was reminded this morning as our brother was preaching that what I need desperately is I need help from the Lord. I need strength from the Lord. I need the touch of God upon my life. And I call out to the Lord. And I have to tell you, there's several things this morning that were reminders to me that God knows right where I am. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I thank the Lord that He is faithful. The Holy Spirit is a troubler. Sometimes we're troubled because we want to know. We want to know how that God is going to work. And it is a test of our confidence and our faith in God. What you believe about God. Most of us have been around the Bible and we've been around the church a long, long time. But we do have experiences where what we believe is put to the test. And sometimes the Spirit of God is working in just that way to remind us that God has not forsaken us. Amen. Trouble on every side, but not distressed. The words there mean we're troubled, but we're not totally crushed. Sometimes we are perplexed. We don't know what to do, but we're not in despair. We don't know what to do, but we haven't given up hope. Not in despair. We may feel like we are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Sometimes you may feel alone or isolated, but just be reminded of the fact that God is with you, and there are those that are helping you in prayer and are concerned about what you are experiencing, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Why do these things happen? Apostle Paul describes it here. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in us. Sometimes we go through these times and these troubling experiences as a reminder to us of what Christ suffered, and so that there could be eternal life, so that we can understand that we sometimes suffer circumstances in our life to remind us that we are not sufficient in ourselves, but we need the life and the power of God at work in our life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's waiting for response. Now, this is an indicator of how much that he cared about the Corinthian church. And he was concerned that there would be a response, that he could find out how that they were reacting to the message that he had sent to them. Let me tell you, it was straightforward. It was harsh and straight, the message. But they needed to hear it. He sends the message. Weeks and months have gone by, and so he spent a lot of restless nights. But through all that, he's learning to trust in the Lord. He's learning to put his confidence. You know, if our prayers were answered immediately, then we would never learn the importance of trusting God. Amen. So sometimes we pray, and it may be days or weeks or months or years before we see the answer come. But we learn the lesson of trusting. The troubler deals with us. The Spirit of God deals with us and reminds us of the fact that we need to hold on in faith and believe that God is at work in the middle of our trouble, even when we don't see any evidence of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. But Paul, he said, I was troubled on every side, every direction I looked. There were problems, there was trouble. Sometimes you feel that way. You feel like you'd like to at least look one direction and see everything is good that direction. But there are times when you just look left, right, all around you, and all you see is there's trouble, problems, and needs, and sometimes it is overwhelming. That's what the apostle was dealing with. Trouble on every side, he said. Every side. With outward fightings, within were fears. He saw outward physical evidence of troubles and problems, but he also was dealing with these spiritual issues of his own faith and his confidence in God. He was battling in every direction, and even within his own spirit, he was battling as to whether or not God was going to work in this situation. Verse 6, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. I don't know, I just can kind of picture this. Months have gone by. He's got, you know, Paul's got bags under his eyes. He wore out. He's not sleeping good. He's worried about the Corinthian church. I mean, he had poured his heart and soul into that church, into those believers, and he was so concerned about them, concerned about what was happening with them. When he saw Titus, it says that he was comforted by just the sight of him. So apparently Titus must have had a smile on his face. Let him know right off, things are going good. Things are going good down in Corinth. And he said, but not by his coming only, but by the consolation, the comforting words. Wherefore he was comforted in you. Wherefore he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you ever had the Spirit of God working in your mind, in your spirit, troubling work of the Spirit? You don't understand what's going on or why that it is, and you don't really know what to do. Let me tell you, the answer is going to come. The answer is going to come. God is going to prove himself. He's going to be faithful as you honor the Lord, as you just remain true and faithful to the Lord. The answer is going to come. And that day it came, and Titus showed up with a smile on his face. And he said, when I got to Corinth, they comforted me. They received me. And they didn't reject me. They didn't turn away from the message. But they ministered to me. They comforted me. And he said, and when we gave them the message, then it was obvious that they had such an earnest desire to do what was right. They had such a desire to do the right thing. Nothing encourages a preacher any more than to know that people have a heart to do what's right. Amen. None of us are perfect, and we all make blunders and do things that we're not proud of. But it's a wonderful thing just to know that the people of God have a heart to do the right thing. And that's what he experienced here in this message from Titus. They comforted Titus, and he gives this message. He said, when he told us your earnest desire and your mourning, that when they read the message, when they read that message, that they mourned over it, they grieved over it, instead of, you know, stiffening up and rebelling and rejecting this reprimand and this correction, instead of that, when they read it, it broke their heart. And they repented and were mourning over the things that they had done and the things that they had allowed to go on in the church there. And it broke their heart, and repentance came to the church. And cleansing came to the church. What a good report that came from Titus. Amen. What a good report. Great comfort and consolation. And they had such a desire for the right thing. They had this earnest desire for the right thing, and they repented of what they were doing, and they were sorrowful over what they had done. And then he says, "And your fervent mind toward me," amen. That they were just as much concerned about Paul as he was about them, amen. And that meant so much to Paul when he saw that, because he had obeyed the Lord and he'd sent the message, as difficult as it was, but it had accomplished what it was sent forth to do. And even in the meantime, over the weeks and the months, even though he was troubled, there was a work of the Spirit of God in him that was reminding him, you can trust me. The answer is going to come. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to bring you through this circumstance if you will just trust me. Amen. Amen. Now I tell you, I have real confidence in God and in what God can do. This morning when I looked back there and I saw Josh and Tiffany and Tiffany's sister, her name is Marcia. Good name. Amen. When I saw them, there's been numbers of times that I have prayed, Lord, save that couple. Save, do a work in that family. Do a work in that family. So when I saw them, my spirit was so lifted. I was encouraged to see that God was working on the other end of that situation. Hallelujah. And brought them. And Sandy wasn't even here. She had gone to the hospital to see her mother. Josh was saying, where's my mom? Why ain't she here? The Spirit of the Lord, no doubt, drew them in to the service for their own good, but also to remind me and to encourage me to know that God hears the prayers and he's at work on the other end of this thing in ways that are amazing and surprising. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I'm encouraged tonight. Rachel came into the service. That encouraged me. As a matter of fact, as the choir was singing and I was on the front seat there, I was just praying, Lord, put Rachel up there in that choir. Amen. Amen. Do such a mighty work in her life that she's up there singing and glorifying God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord can do mighty, wonderful things in all of our lives, and His hand is upon us to use us for His power and for His glory. Amen. The Apostle Paul, he says, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. I'm not sorry I sent it. I'm sure he questioned himself many times in the middle of the night. Why did I send that letter? What have I done? Am I going to tear things up? Are things going to be, Now, Paul was flesh and blood. He was troubled and concerned, and he hadn't heard back yet. But now he says, I'm not sorry I sent that letter. I know it was of God. I don't repent, though I did repent. He must have been waffling back and forth. I did repent in one of those night hours. I did say, Lord, is this the right thing? For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. There's the victory in the life of an apostle who's following God, and we think of him as this mighty man that's so used of the Lord, but he had times when he questioned. All in all, just be reminded of this, that even in your trouble and in your difficulty and in your sorrow, because you're a child of God, God can use those times, and many times it's the work of the Holy Spirit that is awakening you and reminding you, you need me in the middle of the night. You need me every moment of the day. You need me in all of your trouble and all of your circumstances. You need me. Call upon me. Sometimes you're awakened in the night or early in the morning, and it may be just the time that you need to say, oh God, no doubt you've awakened me at this very moment, and I'm calling out to you. Amen. Laying there in your bed, you can call out upon the Lord, the Holy Spirit. The troubler has awakened you and reminding you of how much that you need Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I read through this, I was thinking about, you know, Paul was such a mighty man of faith and such a man so full of the Spirit of God, but yet he was weak and frail. He said, we have this treasure in a clay pot, an earthen vessel. We're just weak and fragile, but we have this treasure. Why did God deposit this treasure in us in all of our weakness? So that He could be glorified. So that His name could be glorified. Hallelujah. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's what He said. Hallelujah. So we can thank God. We can thank the Lord whenever He deals with us, in whatever way that He deals with us. Respond to the voice of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. If we could see in the unseen world all of the things that God is doing, and all of the things that He wants to do and will do if we'll just get in step with the plan of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You deal with us in so many wonderful and amazing ways. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, that You remind us of how much that we need You, how weak and frail that we are, how dependent that we are upon You and Your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, do a work among us here tonight. Do a work, Lord, among Your people and every individual in this place, Lord. I know You have a purpose and a plan, Lord, and I know that Your heart is after them, pursuing them and working in our lives. Thank You, Lord. Oh, God, that You care about us and our needs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.